You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Tattooing has become very popular in recent years. A Harris poll found that 1 in 5 adults in this country has at least one tattoo, and other surveys say that 40% of people between the ages of 18 and 29 have tattoos, and yet relatively little is known about the health effects of injecting inks under the skin. The practice made medical news recently when it was reported that tattoo inks were found to be migrating throughout the body and being misread as cancerous cells in some scans. Industrial hygienist Manona Russell, author of the book Pick Your Poison from Wiley, has visited the show many times to talk about the hazards of cosmetics and other household chemicals, but today she will look into the dangers of the chemicals some of us have been putting under our skin. Welcome back to our show.
Well, thank you.
Can you tell us about the recent case in California in which a woman undergoing a scan for cervical cancer was misdiagnosed because of her tattoos?
Yes, the pigments that we put under the skin, some of them will stay put, but some of them migrate. They don't all stay where they put them, and especially the smaller particles will migrate, and they end up in the lymph nodes. So if you do a CT scan and you use an injected material so that the lymph nodes that have cancer will light up, the lymph nodes also containing pigment will light up. And so they did a complete hysterectomy on this woman and found out when they were doing the pathology tests on the lymph nodes that they didn't have any cancer in them. So now it says later they did a more in-depth study and they found a few cancer cells that were what I call a micrometastasis. And so she probably saved her life, they said.
By being misdiagnosed.
Yeah, I think that might be a rationality. I'm not sure.
Is this the first case where tattoo inks have been found to have migrated from the tattoo site to other parts of the body?
Well, when I first read it, I thought maybe that was the case. And then I started looking into it and seeing other reports. And then an incredible study came out. Well, it isn't a study. It's a review. 26 professionals, most of them PhDs and MDs, got all the data on tattoos from all over the world, from every country, piled it all together in a big Lancet review, medical journal review. It is absolutely stunning because it cites every bit of information that it's got there. If somebody's interested in getting a tattoo, it's a little difficult to read, but I suggest they get it. It's in Lancet. I'll help them if they want to get it.
So, well, tattooing has been around for a long time. There are lots of people who've been living with them for decades, often into very old age. So should we be all that concerned?
Well, there's lots of people worked with asbestos into old age and didn't develop mesothelioma or lung cancer either. That's the George Burns theory of toxicology. You know, you can drink a fifth of gin a day and never have a cigar out of your mouth and live to 100. Doesn't work for most people.
Have there been health studies into the consequences of getting a tattoo?
Well, the first ones that I looked at were from the 80s. There's a doctor, Norman Goldstein. He's now at Mount Sinai, a heck of a dermatologist. And he saw all these sailors coming into Hawaii, where he was stationed at that time. And my goodness, there were all kinds of articles that he wrote back then in the 80s and 90s. I have that collection. And, of course, he saw a few cases of cancer arising right in the tattoos. There was a lot of, but they didn't have the sophistication then that they do now to follow these studies up and really find out where the stuff is migrating to.
In the past, tattoos were mostly on sailors or prison inmates, but now they have become wildly popular among young people of both sexes. Has that popularity caused medical researchers to take a closer look at the long-term consequences of tattoos?
Well, yes, especially when they get the pants caught around their ankles in removing somebody's organs on the basis of tattoo ink showing up incorrectly. So, I mean, they're really looking at this and they're really starting to see where these things migrate to. And we know a lot more about some of the chemicals that are being used. None of them were intended ever to be used under the skin.
Does anyone regulate tattoo parlors, the FDA?
The only thing they regulate is the cleanliness, and they do regulate the labeling in that you're supposed to actually tell people what's in it. It's supposed to be clean, you know, no bacteria and stuff. But many studies are finding that that's not always the case, because most of these tattoo inks and things are manufactured by very, very small manufacturers.
Are they classified as cosmetics?
Yes. So that means they don't need any pre-market approval.
Cosmetics don't need any pre-market approval?
Oh, we didn't know this.
Well, I always thought that they were making bunny rabbits blind when they tested them.
Well, there are certain regulations that have to do with the toxicity of various ingredients, but you mush these various ingredients together and there's no pre-market approval. You don't have to prove anything.
In this case, it's not the same as cosmetics. They're not applied to the skin the way lipstick is, but they're injected under the skin.
From your lips. From your lips to God's ears, they should be realizing that almost all of the studies on cosmetic ingredients, for instance, the titanium dioxide that's the base for almost all makeup, is now known to be a lung carcinogen. And it's in nanoparticle size, the most dangerous of all of the sizes. So the only studies done on it were done in England. It stays mostly on the surface of the skin, but they've clearly said do not use it ever on broken skin, because now it can get beneath the skin. We're injecting that under the skin.
So titanium is used in tattoos?
Titanium dioxide is one of the pigments used, yes.
Some people are using tattoos as a form of cosmetics. There are people who are having eyeliners tattooed, and others have eyebrows tattooed.
I know. It's just happening everywhere.
My guest is Manona Russell. We're talking about tattooing and why it might be dangerous for your health. The FDA's website does list some risks of tattooing, like infection from dirty needles, the sort of thing that we are concerned about with HIV and hepatitis, and sometimes the after effects of heroin use, where bacteria is injected into the bloodstream. But how does that apply? If the FDA says it's bad, does that mean the FDA has any say in the matter?
They really don't. They say that they're studying it. They say that they are taking a look at this. But, you know, they take a look at it for maybe 5 years, 10 years, and then maybe some regular. But I wouldn't wait for regulations anytime soon. And they also mention on their website that there are MRI complications, not the ones that we were talking about, but different ones. They said that people who have tattoos may have pain, burning, swelling of their tattoos after an MRI scan. Well,
that seems odd, because MRIs are really all about magnetism, aren't they?
That's right. And some of these are metallic pigments. So, you know, they want you to take your metals off, your earrings off, all of that stuff off, because they'll rip your earrings out if you don't take them off. Well, your skin wants to rip off, you know, to the edge of the MRI unit. So, it's going to cause some pain.
Now, tattoo parlors are required to sterilize needles before each use. Is there any kind of oversight?
Oh, some states have. That's usually left pretty much to the states. And some states, like California, watch pretty good. It depends on your health department whether they're actually getting in there and taking a look.
Some of the other risks listed are allergies, scarring, granulomas. What are granulomas?
Well, they're like little lumps that grow, little scar tissue kind of lumps that grow. And sometimes when the body is irritated by anything, it tends to do that. And so those can be ugly. They're really permanent. You'd have to have those removed surgically.
What are tattoo inks made of? You mentioned some of the ingredients in them, but, for example, black tattoo inks, aren't they just carbon? Aren't they
just carbon? Just like when you grill.
But our bodies are made of carbon.
Yeah, but when you grill that steak, they're always telling you get polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons and other carcinogens, because when you burn things that go to carbon, you get these really potent carcinogens. Well, it's the same with the tattoo inks. They contain some of these. And, in fact, they've actually done cadaver studies of tattoo skin, and those PAHs can still be detected years after the tattoo was done.
And that's pretty much the only kind of ingredient in black, the color black?
Well, no, they very often have other things in there to shade it. There's not all blacks are just coal black. And that's where they might use titanium dioxide or iron oxides to shade that black more attractively.
What would those dioxides do to the body?
Well, this is it. We don't know. We do know that the titanium dioxide is what's called a surface active carcinogen. That's why if you inhale it deep in the lungs where it remains, it can cause lung cancer. And the smaller the particle size, the more lung cancer it is capable of causing. So putting this under the skin is really not a smart move.
What about the colors? Hasn't the range of colors used in tattoos been expanded in recent years?
Actually, no, because when I looked at those studies of the sailors way back when, they were using brilliant reds, which were mercuric sulfide.
But that's mercury.
Yes, mercury. And they were using cadmium compounds, which were nice bright yellow and orange colors.
But when I was a painter, I was told never to put any paintbrush that had a cadmium paint on it onto my tongue.
Duh.
It's a heavy metal, isn't it?
It's extremely toxic, and it's a carcinogen. So, I mean, but they were doing it now.
What, lead, mercury, cadmium, cobalt?
All those were used in the past. Yes, they were all used in the past. Now, today, you can still find them in the tattoo inks, according to that review study that I told you about. But they're mostly contaminants. The major inks, colored inks, are aluminum, titanium dioxide, other types of barium, copper as colorants, but they're still finding antimony, arsenic, cadmium, chromium, cobalt, lead, and nickel as contaminants. Why would you do this? You know, why would you want to do this?
They're all inorganic things,
aren't
they?
That's the inorganic.
Can't organic pigments be used in tattoo inks?
And they are, and they're the new ones. In order to get rid of the bright reds and yellows being cadmium and mercury, they have switched to some of the new azo and other synthetic dyes, or they call them pigments because they may lake them on, they may attach them to barium or other metals that will keep them from floating around. But those are a bad acting class of chemicals in general, and they're very often based on cancer-causing substances like aniline and benzodiazepine and anthraquinone.
What about the natural colors that you get from vegetables and fruits? Would they just dissipate?
Well, yes, they would, and they would fade.
You need something that keeps it there
quickly.
Permanently.
But what makes you think that the ones from vegetables aren't carcinogens?
I shouldn't inject beet.
I wouldn't put
juice
anything
in my arm.
In your borscht is where it should stay.
Strawberries.
Yeah.
So none of these things are safe when they're in your body.
Yeah, you have to put them where they're supposed to be. And under the skin is really a most vulnerable place to put it.
And then there are the mediums for them, the media, the solvents, what are preservatives?
Yeah, there was a Swiss study because the only country to have regulations is Switzerland, and they have done some of the biggest studies on the various inks that are sold around the world, and they found that even banned cosmetic preservatives were being used in that. You see, if you have an organic chemical dye in a material that's going to be put under the skin, you've got to have a preservative in there or bacteria are going to start growing in there. So the question now is, what is the preservative?
Formaldehyde?
Well, there could be.
Henna is also used in tattoos. That has to be safe.
Well, the hazards of real henna are somewhat limited. But it wouldn't make a good tattoo because it isn't permanent. It tends to move around. The black henna has been altered, and it is just essentially, when you look at the formula, it's another organic dye.
My guest is industrial hygienist Manona Russell, author of Pick Your Poison, which is published by Wiley. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. People are also calling in, even though I didn't give out the phone number, so let me give it out now. It's 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org, which a number of people have already done, or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We'll get to some of the things that people have been writing in and continue this conversation with Manona right after this. We are back with Manona Russell, industrial hygienist and author of the book Pick Your Poison, which is published by Wiley. We're talking about tattoos, and a lot of people have been writing in. Joe from New Jersey wrote into our show page, Nokia has patented a tattoo that vibrates when your cell phone calls. The tattoo would use ferromagnetic ink that would be magnetized once the tattoo is healed. You're laughing. Well, or are you laughing to keep from crying?
Can you imagine trying to do an MRI on that person? I mean, it's an interesting idea. I guess if you're determined to be a total lab rat, that would be something you might want to do. And then just stop and think. You can't get rid of it. If you try to get rid of it, you just break it up into smaller pieces, and now you have magnetic ink floating around the body.
Well, when you're trying to get rid of it, you usually people have tattoos removed through lasers.
Yeah.
So that it just breaks it up, and then it migrates around the body?
Well, remember we talked about organic and inorganic. The inorganic ones, it's going to break into smaller particles. They're going to fly all around. The organic parts are going to break the molecules down, which is really scary, because then when those colors fade, they're breaking into their chemical precursor. So if it's a benzidine dye, it breaks down to benzidine. If it's an azo, it may break down into giving you aniline. So, you know, now that is definitely going to migrate all over.
Diana wrote in, our dermatologist explained this to us a few years ago when my daughter wanted a tattoo. She said that when a tattoo fades, it's because the body is carting away the heavy metal in the ink molecule molecule by molecule and depositing it in a lymph node, because that's where unwanted things go to be cleared. But the lymph nodes can't handle all of it, and the heavy metals accumulate there.
He's right about the inorganics. That's true about the inorganics. The organics would be another issue.
On the other hand, Isaiah from Fairfield, New York, who says he is a former dairy quality control specialist, says that titanium oxide is a common additive to milk in the United States and the UK.
Mm-hmm. By ingestion, it doesn't appear to be a hazard. It's just like silica. Free silica causes silicosis and lung cancer when it's inhaled. When it is ingested, it goes right through you like grass through a goose.
Let's take another call. Take a call. Adriana, Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Adriana, hi, yeah.
Go ahead.
I have a tattoo, and would getting something laser removed after receiving a tattoo limit or help better your chances of not having these toxins in your body, or is it once you receive a tattoo, it's in it and you're just kind of in it for the ride?
Once you receive a tattoo, it's a permanent issue for you, because whether you break it up into small particles with a laser that move it somewhere else, it's still going to be primarily in your body.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now,
what about allergies? Are any people allergic to the ingredients in the tattoo inks?
That's the one, of course, that there's the most information on, because a significant number of people do get allergies to the various tattoo materials. And it could be to the preservative. It could be to the particular dye. It could be to a lot of things. Some people are allergic to certain metals.
Do they get a rash?
Yeah.
Can a tattoo seem fine at first and then an allergy develop over time?
Yes, and the interesting thing in this review said that doing patch testing to determine if you have an allergy to the ingredients is pretty much useless, because once it's under the skin and it's going to be under there for years, it increases continually your likelihood of developing an allergy later to it. So patch testing is not considered very definitive in terms of picking your tattoo inks.
Amy from Queens, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Firstly, I wanted to thank you so much for this show. It's very, very informative. I wanted to know if there has been any research done on the effects of tattoos on darker-skinned people, be they African, African-American, Hispanic.
I saw absolutely nothing in the literature that made that distinction at all, so I don't think so.
Well, but there are things that darken skin, and I would wonder whether that would protect, or on the other hand, was it melanin? On the other hand, might very well make things even worse.
Well, there are cosmetic tattoos that are applied to people who get white spots in an otherwise dark skin. I certainly think that that is a rational thing to do, just because, I mean, you really, it is a cosmetic, a serious cosmetic issue. But I don't think there's been any study that has divided by skin type.
Thank you so much for your call, Amy. I wondered about the placement of the tattoo, because I'm seeing more and more tattoos on people's faces and necks.
Well, you don't see the other ones.
Yeah,
there are some pretty interesting places that get tattooed in this world.
Yes, but does it matter? Are there some places closer to the brain, for example?
Well, there was some studies seem to think that only the what they call the local lymph nodes, which were near where the actual tattoo was located, would be fluorescing. But now they have found that's not so. It really, in time, can be almost any of the lymph nodes. Because this person who had their hysterectomy, her tattoos were up on her shoulder and upper back.
Another listener wonders about whether it's different if you have tattoos all over your body or you just have a little heart on your upper arm.
Well, obviously, the dose is the important thing there.
Do these metals have neurological effects or just cancer risks?
Well, the contaminant metals certainly do. In fact, in California, there is a health department rule that requires them under Proposition 65 to determine the exact amount of lead in those tattoos, and you're not allowed to get over a certain amount as a daily dose, and if that could be dissolved at a certain rate, that is not a permitted type of tattoo in California. But there are no laws like that anywhere else. So that's a neurological metal. Lead is. So it's iffy.
Anthony from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if there have been any constraints or how many studies comparing cancer rates to cancer rarer those without.
I'm having trouble.
And of different types of cancer.
I think what he's asking is, have any studies done comparing rates of cancer people have tattoos and people who don't have tattoos?
Well, that takes a huge study, because the problem is we don't only have tattoos in our life as a risk factor. You'd have to then find how many people work in industries where there's free silica, how many work where there's lead, how many work. You'd have a heck of a time teasing that out. But it's going to be possible because of the interest, number one. And in the EU, where there are people really concerned about this, they have estimated there's 100 million people with tattoos. So they're going to have really good opportunities to get some data.
My guest is Manona Russell, whose book, Pick Your Poison, is published by Wiley. She's been a regular on our show talking about the various risks that we face from cosmetics, household chemicals, and the like. And now we are talking about tattoos. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate, and we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where handle is at Leonard Lopate. People are wondering whether, since women are having tattoos a lot more, whether we will see things specific to women, like reproductive issues.
That will be interesting to see. And again, how do we determine whether a reproductively bad outcome occurred from the tattoo or occurred from other things like the makeup and whatever, their cleaning chemicals? The problem is, when you're exposed to this vast number of chemicals, it's going to be very hard to tease out effects just from tattoos without large, large numbers of people. Plus the cancers that occur and the reproductive damage, you're looking at studies of 10, 15, 20, 25 years.
Well, we tell women who are pregnant not to do certain things, not to drink, for example.
Well,
what about getting a tattoo?
I certainly would tell them not to get a tattoo.
What about the exposure of tattoo artists to all of these chemicals? Now, pretty much every tattoo artist has tattoos, but they are living in a world where all these chemicals are just part of the air, I guess part of their environment.
Well, and there was a study somewhere that said there was a small amount of inhalable tattoo ink in these parlors from these needles. The vibration throws a little bit of it into very fine mist. So there is some additional exposure by inhalation, probably only significant for a tattoo artist. And remember, their noses can be pretty close to their work when they're doing this. So we may see something, if there's enough tattoo parlors and enough people to study, we may be able to tweeze out something from that exposure as well. But it's going to be a long time.
Because there just haven't been enough studies.
Yeah, because this is all chronic. There's nothing acute here. They don't get a tattoo and drop over next to the parlor. So this is something that you're looking at 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years down the line.
And the same problems, I imagine, arise when you live near a plant that is spewing out some stuff. It's really hard to prove in court that that was the reason that you got cancer.
That's what the real issue for, you know, the studies that we've seen that have gone to court and been successful. It was how long could they keep fighting and getting data in order to make their case. It takes a long time.
Al from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I had a friend who was in prison in Australia, and he had a lot of tattoos, and in a remorse moment, he scraped his skin and scraped the tattoos off and used salt, and it sucked the ink out, he said. But I heard that if you just abrade your skin and you put salt on top of it, that the inks will migrate to the top of your skin. Is that true?
No.
Oh.
No, it really isn't. He would have had to do some pretty deep stuff.
Well,
that goes below
the
dermis.
He had scars all over his arm.
Yeah, well, see, it would be like getting third-degree burns because you got to get down below that layer. And he's only going to get off what is near the surface. The stuff that had already migrated to other parts of the body is still there.
Oh, okay. So it was an old wives' tale that you can just put salt on your skin. Okay.
No, it won't happen.
I'm corrected. Thank you.
Thank you for calling us. But let's talk about prison tattoos, because they are usually done even with whatever is available. Sometimes they're using burnt matches to get the black. Are they killing themselves?
Well, they're certainly not doing themselves any good.
Did the judges know about that when they give them sentences?
I don't think they take that into account.
Yeah, have a life sentence plus however long the tattoos. You stay alive despite the tattoos. Mike from New Jersey says that every quality tattoo artist that he uses doesn't have lead in their ink. He has over 35% of his body covered in tattoos.
Yeah, well, you know, if you only get the information from the people selling you something, you really probably haven't done your work. So it's necessary sometimes to find out if there's laboratory results that confirm what this person has said. You'd have to really follow it up, because so far the studies are showing that the inks that are being used in, well, for instance, where they did deep studies in Switzerland, they think they found a significant portion of them were just not telling you the truth on the labels.
There are some cultures where tattooing is just a part of the culture. Often when people reach puberty, they wind up getting tattooed. I don't know whether anthropologists have done any studies into that.
No, and they wouldn't probably have been using the kinds of pigments that we're using. We're using automobile paint inks. We're using really strange things here. But back then, you're right, they were using things like charcoal from burned carbonaceous materials and things like that to get the tattoos.
Linda from Milford, Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to know, what are the educational requirements for tattoo artists? Are these people educated and licensed?
There are a number of states that have licensing procedures for all cosmetic types of things. And I'm going to just crow for a minute. You know, New York State now has this really good new bill on the licensure, speeding up licensure for nail salon workers, which we did a really good job on, I think, in this state. But, yeah, there are rules about cleanliness and sanitation in those shops and so on. So they should have some kind of poster up on the wall that says that they have met the local standards. And then, of course, there's some states where You just don't see it being enforced.
Wanda on our show page asks, what about India ink used in homemade tattoos? Is this more or less toxic than professional tattoos?
Well, real India ink, as I remember, was made from ox gall. And I don't think there's any deep studies of what happens when you put ox gall underneath the skin. So it would just, that would be an interesting thing. But again, it wouldn't be sterile. There would be a lot of reasons. Plus, it has a certain amount of alcohol in it, which would tend to smart if you stick it under your skin.
Jeannie from the Village heard that there's titanium in tattoos and wonders, isn't titanium dioxide a main ingredient in sunscreens?
Yes, yes. It's the major thing.
So do we not put sunscreen on when we have an open sore?
That's what they say not to do, because they are worried about this surface active carcinogen getting into the cells.
A listener on Twitter asked about temporary tattoos for children. They're not the same thing because the ink isn't going under the skin.
Yeah, well, and I am for having some of this stuff around. I don't think it should be done with children, to tell you the truth. I don't think any dye on the skin of a child is a really good idea, including food dyes. They're meant to be eaten. But I think having them around is a good thing for me because I'm an advisor to people who work in the theater. And I certainly would rather see somebody covered with temporary tattoos for a role than real ones. Plus, I'll tell you, if you're an actor, you don't want to get a tattoo. Because I watched in a Broadway show an actor who needed makeup being done all the way to the waist, and he was covered with tattoos, and he was in that makeup chair, I'm telling you, one hell of a long time, because they had to do four layers of base makeup in order to get those tattoos covered enough for the rest of the makeup to work.
Manona Russell is an industrial hygienist. Her book, Pick Your Poison, is published by Wiley. Thank you so much for being on our show again.
I loved it.